Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
According to Revelation chapter 20, at the end of a thousand-year reign of our Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth, the bodies of those throughout the course of time who have rejected Him as their Lord and Savior, who have rejected His salvation, will rise from the grave. And it says in Daniel chapter 12 that they will rise in disgrace and in shame and in everlasting punishment. But it also says that those who have insight into these things, those who are aware of the danger of rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who love Him, those who belong to Him, those who obey Him, well, they will shine brightly like the blinding light of the expanse of the heavens. And so, today, those of us who know this truth, who believe this truth, are diligent to lead those who are still lost in the darkness of their sin to an understanding of this truth. And so, it says, we will shine like the stars of heaven forever. We will reflect the glory of our Savior for all eternity. And we are told in Psalm 97 that knowing these things, we sow seeds of light. We sow seeds of truth. This is to be the focus of all of us who belong to Jesus Christ. Our lives are to be grounded in Him, grounded in His Word. But it seems that many who claim to belong to Jesus have gotten off track today. They're preoccupied with many things, sometimes many good things. They are preoccupied with social issues. They're focused on themselves. They're focused on their rights. They're focused on their freedom in Christ. They want to do as they please. And like the people in the church, in the city of Corinth, in the New Testament, they are not concerned how their actions affect those around them, especially their brothers and their sisters in Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells the people in that church that our freedom in Christ should be set aside when that freedom wounds the conscience of our brothers and of our sisters and causes them to stumble into sin. Love for them should be the limiting factor of our freedom. And to illustrate this truth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses himself as an example of how he has not exercised his rights, how he has not exercised his freedom in Christ for their sakes. And so in verse 1, he says, am I not free? Eleutheros in Greek. Like you, have I not been released from the bonds of sin? Have I not been released from the power of Satan over my soul? Am I not free in Christ as you are free? Am I not free to do as you do? And am I not an apostle? Apostolos in Greek. Am I not a special messenger who has been sent by God to you, commissioned by him in a vision to take the good news of salvation to the Gentiles? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Yes, I have been an eyewitness of our resurrected Savior. And we'll recall that as Paul ministered in the city of Corinth for 18 months, we recall back in Acts chapter 18 that we are told that while he was there, the Lord encouraged him. He encouraged him in a vision in the night, and he instructed Paul, and he told him not to be afraid of the opposition that he was facing in the city of Corinth. That Paul was to continue, despite the hardship. He was to continue to proclaim the truth, and the Lord said to him, I am with you, so no man will attack you in order to harm you, because you have been chosen by me, and I have many people in the city of Corinth who will come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. So Paul did stay in that city for those 18 months. And he reminds the people in the church in Corinth, you are those people that the Lord spoke about to me. Are you not my work in the Lord, he says? Are you not the evidence of the hand of Christ upon me, as the Lord enabled him to bring forth the fruit of salvation in their lives? The saving faith, their saving faith, their knowledge of the truth of the Word of God was brought forth through the faithful work of the Apostle Paul. So he adds in verse 2, if to other people, in other places, I am not looked at as an apostle, he says, well, at least I am an apostle to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship. Sphragis in Greek. You are the proof of the genuineness of my work in the Lord. A mark, like a wax seal of a signet ring. Your faith is living proof, evidence that I am a true representative of Jesus Christ. Your faith, he says in verse 3, is my defense. Apologia. In Greek, it is an illustration. It is a vindication to those who examine me, anakrino, to those who would attempt to find fault with me, those who would attempt to invalidate and to pass judgment on me. So my defense is this. It is your salvation. So, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul asks this question in verse 4. Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Is it too much to expect financial support for these basic necessities of life? He says, do we not also have a right to take along a believing wife on a missionary journey as we minister in other cities, even as the rest of the apostles do, and the half-brothers of our Lord, James and Jude, and even the apostle Cephas, that is Simon Peter. Well, they all receive financial support as they minister for Christ. Or, Paul asks in verse 6, do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working, ergazomai in Greek, from doing manual labor to support ourselves? And despite those who have abused this right over the years, still, it remains that it is the responsibility of the people in the church to support its leaders who are in full-time service for the Lord, who are faithful ministers of the gospel. And Paul affirms in verse 7, this principle is certainly true in other occupations that are found in this world. Who, for example, he says in verse 7, at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Soldier does not wage war during the day and at night take a part-time job in order to pay for his rations, does he? Well, of course not. Who plants a vineyard, he says, and does not eat the fruit of it? Farmers are either paid for their crop in cash, or they receive a portion of that crop as payment. But they don't work for free, do they? And shepherds also don't work for free, he says. Those who tend a flock of sheep or of goats, they consume the milk of that flock. All of these people are financially sustained by their occupation, as they should be compensated for their labor. So why should not the true workers of Jesus Christ be compensated for their labor as well? I am not speaking of these things according to human judgment, am I? Paul asks in verse 8. This principle just doesn't apply to the thinking and to the standards of this world, does it? We are like soldiers. Soldiers for Christ, fighting against the enemy of our souls. We're like farmers sowing the seed of the word of God. We're like shepherds caring for the flock of God. So we should receive the fruit of our labor. And Paul adds, this truth can also be found in the word of God. Or does not the law also say these things? That is the law that is written. The law of Moses, written in Deuteronomy chapter 25, where it says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing the corn or the wheat. What is he talking about? Well, this speaks of the practice of using an ox to pull a heavy stone sled over the top of the corn and of the wheat to loosen the grain from the husks. And then they were thrown in the air and the husks would be blown away by the wind, but the grain would fall to the ground. And so it says, allow the ox to eat the grain that is on the ground while he is working. This is to be his compensation for his work. And though we're told in Psalm 147 that God gives the beasts of the field their food and he feeds the birds of the air, this passage of scripture in Deuteronomy is not primarily concerned about oxen, is it? And Paul says in verse 10, is the Lord speaking altogether for our sake? Is there a deeper meaning here? Well, yes, he says, it is for our sake. The principle applies to us. It applies to men. The worker is to share in the fruit of his labor. So this is written, it says, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, elpis in Greek, in expectation. And the thresher ought to thresh in hope, in expectation of sharing in the crops. Can argue with that logic. Then Paul applies this principle, this truth, to himself. And so he says in verse 11, if we have sowed spiritual things among you, eternal truth, and sound biblical teaching, sound doctrine in you, is it too much for us to expect that we should reap material things from you? Financial support for spiritual labor? As we are told in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, and in 1 Timothy 5:18, the workman is worthy of his hire, worthy of his wages. And if other leaders who are among you in the church, Paul points out, share this right over you, and they receive financial support for their spiritual labor, do we not have the right to more? Since we began that fellowship in Corinth, and we led many of you to Christ. Nevertheless, Paul reminds the people in the church in Corinth, we did not use this right. Instead, we labored night and day. And Paul was a worker in leather by trade. He was a tent maker. And so he says, we endure all things, stego in Greek. We bear all these things in silence and without complaining, so that we may cause no hindrance. Enkope in Greek, a word that was used to describe the tearing up of a road so that an advancing army could not pass through it. We did not want to stop or to even slow down your spiritual progress in the gospel of Christ. So we did not use the rights we had as ministers of the gospel. But, he adds, even in the Old Testament, in the priesthood of Israel, this principle of support is found. And yes, it's even found in the pagan temples in Corinth. Do you not know, Paul says in verse 13, that those who perform sacred services in the temple eat the food of the temple? And those who faithfully attend regularly to the altar have their share with the altar. They receive their share of the crops and of the animal sacrifices and of the tithes and of the offerings that are brought into the temple and are offered to the Lord. So, Paul concludes in verse 14. The Lord Jesus has also directed this, diatasso in Greek. He has set this in order in Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. He has commanded his followers to offer financial support to those who faithfully minister to them. But Paul chose to limit his liberty. He chose to limit his freedom in Christ for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of those weaker brothers and sisters in the church in Corinth, and I would say all of them were weak, though they thought they were strong in the Lord. But they were weak in their faith. And so he limited his freedom in Christ for the sake of his love for them. Even as he sowed seeds of light among them, seeds of truth, seeds of eternal life, a high calling in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.